This is KDNK Carbondale. Good morning. Gridlock in Congress can be blamed, at least in part, on widely differing views over the science of climate change, Eric Galatis reports.
Republicans and Democrats have never been further apart on climate change, according to a new Oklahoma State University study. Both parties were essentially pro-environment in 1970, the study found, but today, 9 out of 10 Democrats and only 3 in 10 Republicans believe global warming is real and caused by human activity. Riley Dunlap, the report's lead author, says the growing gap has widespread impact.
Polarization, when it reaches this extreme, leads to situations where we can't pass a national budget to repair our roads and bridges. That's pretty disastrous. You know, we're getting into a dangerous situation with our infrastructure.
Dunlap notes businesses fearful of regulations and a potential shift in an economic system built on fossil fuels have been a driving force behind climate change denial campaigns. The study's findings suggest climate has joined abortion, guns, taxes, and other hot-button issues as a litmus test for GOP candidates. Dunlap says momentum created by Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth and Barack Obama's 2008 presidential campaign created a backlash. The study notes the Koch brothers-funded Tea Party helped fuel a spike in climate skepticism and, along with efforts by fossil fuel corporations, business allies, conservative think tanks, and media outlets, have had a big impact on public opinion.
And there was real fear in quarters who don't want to deal with climate change, that don't want regulations to reduce carbon emissions, that something would be done, you know, that policies would be enacted.
He adds 2015 saw a noticeable rise in the number of Republicans who agree climate change is already happening, an assessment shared by the global scientific community, but the research still shows more polarization, not less. The study also found personal experience with extreme weather events and rising temperatures is more likely to change minds than persuasion efforts, which it says frequently backfire. This is Eric Galatis reporting for KDNK.
Firefighters from the Upper Colorado River Interagency Fire Unit are planning a prescribed fire on BLM lands northwest of Gypsum today, if conditions are right. The idea behind the 180-acre Sheep Gulch prescribed fire is to lower the risk of larger wildfires by reducing hazardous fuels. The burn will also improve wildlife habitat and help restore sagebrush in the area. Smoke may be seen from the Eagle River Corridor and the town of Gypsum. The North Star Nature Preserve takeout area next to the pedestrian bridge is closed today while work at the site is underway.
Colorado's 3rd Congressional District spans from Craig to Grand Junction and Durango to Pueblo. It includes resort communities like Aspen and Telluride, plus working-class towns such as Rifle and Newcastle. In this year's election, Republican incumbent Scott Tipton of Cortez faces former State Senator Gail Schwartz, a Democrat from Crested Butte, for the chance to represent the district in Washington, D.C. Earlier this month, the conservative group Club 20 hosted a debate between the two candidates. In this clip, they talk about the high cost of health insurance and bipartisanship.
The Affordable Care Act hasn't resulted in the affordable and accessible health care that we were all promised. What specific changes should Congress make to improve our health care system, improve the quality of care, and decrease costs?
Well, I think we have a great opportunity. Again, thinking there's a solution, you know, what's that definition of stupidity where you keep doing the same thing the same time, the same way, and you think something's going to change? Well, when you vote 64 times to undo the Affordable Care Act, it's not going to change. What's going to change is a voice and a vote that's willing to go back there and represent the challenges we have in rural Colorado when it comes to the cost of our insurance, the cost to our families, the cost to our businesses, and actually do something about it. We have millions of people in this nation and hundreds of thousands of people in this state that have benefited from the Affordable Care Act. I don't want to go back to the day that I'm going to be paying more as a woman for my insurance just because I was a woman. Or my daughter couldn't stay on my insurance until she was 26 years old. And pre-existing conditions, that's a system we had to get out of. Those are the benefits. Let's start working on a solution, not just be a bunch of broken Congress naysayers.
What's labeled as the Affordable Care Act is an oxymoron in action. As Coloradoans right now, by law, we are required to buy a product. Those of us who live in rural Colorado, we pay more than our urban counterparts in Denver do. How fair is that? We've put forward ideas out of the House of Representatives. I've co-sponsored two pieces of legislation, Putting Patients First Act, the Republican Study Committee Act, and now we're going to be sponsoring and putting a floor on the bill called A Better Way in regards to health care to cover pre-existing conditions, but it's not going to be government-run control, where we have a $1 trillion cost overrun already. This is unsustainable for the American people. Let's bring private sector solutions in. We can have the requirement and should have the requirement for pre-existing conditions. We need to have competition in the marketplace, allow businesses to be able to join together, incentivize private medical health care savings accounts, be able to buy insurance across state lines. Government has not done it well. They have failed at every level. And by the way, several of those bills that you said were insignificant, the president actually signed some repeals, by the way. He indeed has pointed out this is a failure in its own right. This is something we can fix, something we can fix together, but the solution is not going to be Washington, D.C. It's going to be right here at home. So.
Again, I'm not going to take away the insurance benefits that many people are realizing is actually helping their families. We have a problem, and the problem is in rural America. One size does not fit all, and government needs to recognize that it's not working for us. We need a voice that's willing to fix it, but we also need a voice that's going to address cost, and that is that hockey stick of why it's affordable throughout our state, except for in our mountain region, because we're not controlling our costs. And we have to make sure that we have insurance providers that actually are willing to stay in our markets and give the people the coverage that they need. So this system is going to work. It is working. We need to go back and fix it.
This and the past few Congresses have been noted as do-nothing Congresses, with little passing both houses and less yet earning the president's signature. Irrespective of the majorities in the next Congress, how are you going to work with the other party and the other chamber to accomplish Colorado's federal priorities?
Appreciate the question, because as I noted in my opening statement, we've been able to get 11 bills through the House of Representatives, through committee, the full House, with bipartisan support, bills that are important, actually, to our district, to our people. But here's part of the challenge that I think when we look at Congress, you didn't note that there are two houses of Congress. We passed better than 690 pieces of legislation, many of it with bipartisan support, out of the House of Representatives that we've sent over to the United States Senate. This is a great question, really, for our senators to be able to answer in terms of Harry Reid, and the Republicans did it as well. Let's get rid of the 60-vote rule. Let's stand up and actually vote, put bills on the president's desk, and let's let the American people actually decide.
So this is how you get things done, is you do, solutions are oftentimes in the middle. So when you're voting 95% of the time with your right wing of your party, and you're not willing to stand up to that party, oftentimes things don't get done. I actually have, with my friend Representative Quorum, that Bridge Builder Award, and that means that is a serious award, because over 95% of my bills were actually bipartisan. And that's how you work together. You identify the opportunities and solutions, because oftentimes they are in fact in the middle. And that's when you take an attitude that you're not going back there to make sure that, because that system's broken, that you're going to make sure it stays broken. Nothing has performed less than that do-nothing Congress, and we have seen years of nothing getting through and nothing getting done. Let's talk about Zika. You can't fund one of the greatest threats to our young people and families in this country. You can't find a solution. Do you know every day there is an infant at risk? We're grandparents. This is a crime that we're inflicting on our nation. We can't solve problems that are really serious and really mean something because we're so invested in our ideology. Let's move beyond ideology. Let's get something done. Let's not be a citizens group back there that actually is just more invested in their grandstanding than they are in making sure government works for this state. And I would say Representative Tipton is part of that problem.
You know, my friend just said she got most of her bills through with bipartisan support. I've got all my bills through with bipartisan support. You know, I think maybe she's running for the wrong office. If she isn't paying attention to what's actually happening in Washington, D.C., we passed bills through the House of Representatives. You maybe need to be running against Bennett for the Senate. because this is where we are seeing the real bottleneck in terms of legislation being able to move forward. We have found through our office bills that are important to our communities, bills that are important to our families, bills that are important to our jobs.
Thank you.
Check out KDNK's 2016 election coverage at KDNK.org. Click on News and select 2016 election. And the Roaring Fork Board of Education takes a look at policy revisions concerning construction contracts, personal leave, discrimination, and graduation requirements tonight at its regular meeting. The board will also hear a Colorado Measures of Academic Success, or CMAS, presentation of English language, arts, and math assessments, and more. The meeting starts at 5:30 at the district office in Glenwood Springs. For KDNK News, I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.
Thank you, Amy. River totals, as you may surmise, holding fairly steady. The Arkansas down a bit from 275 yesterday, 271 reported today. Horsethief Canyon also down a bit from 4450 to 4360. The Colorado at the Glenwood Springs Whitewater Park down from 2010 to 1940. Grizzly Creek actually up a few ticks from 1310 to 1320. The Crystal and the Roaring Fork both holding steady. 90 CFS yesterday, 90 CFS today for the Crystal, 685 yesterday, 685 today for the Roaring Fork. And the rivers should get a little rain tomorrow night, and Friday, maybe even spilling over to Saturday as we expect a little change in the weather, but today is one to enjoy again. The colors are just insane. Lovely up there, 81 degrees, Carbondale, lovely all around, actually. 81 degrees expected in Glenwood Springs today. 82 in Rifle, 75 Aspen, 62 in Leadville. Right now we're at 37, it dawns very early light here in Carbondale. But tomorrow's high will be 72 degrees, 20% chance of showers in Carbondale, 30% the rest of the region, 40% in Leadville, and then 30 to 40% chance of rain tomorrow night, 30 to 40% chance of rain on Friday. Rain showers going to 10 to 20% Friday night and Saturday. And again, Carbondale's high today, 81, then 72 tomorrow, 68 on Friday, but back up to 70 on Saturday, and 69 the chance of showers on Sunday. Aspen 75 today, into the mid-60s for the rest of the week.